We are in Moscow, standing in front of one of Russia's most iconic symbols. It embodies grace, elegance, and spectacles on a grandiose scale, the Bolshoi Theater.
Svetlana Zakharova is the prima ballerina of the Bolshoi and one of the most famous dancers of our time. Having graced all of the world's best stages, she chooses to make the Bolshoi her home.
Thank you for taking the time to meet me here. And this is the Imperial Foyer of the Bolshoi Theater in spectacular location. You've said that the Bolshoi doesn't actually accept everybody. What do you mean by that? Who does the Bolshoi accept?
It's a special place. The stage of the Bolshoi is not your typical stage. It is steeped in tradition. It has a rich history with great artists, dancers, and singers who've graced it. Even on a psychological level, crossing that line which separates the wings from the stage is not something everyone can do. Even that beautiful auditorium where people watch the show, when you see it from the stage, your heart stops. There's so much anxiety. Not everyone is capable of overcoming that fear. So first of all, there's this psychological tension that some simply can't handle. And then, of course, the stage of the Bolshoi is special, as I said before. Not everyone has the presence to occupy it. When you enter it, you need to make an impression. You need to own it because the stage is so big. Not every artist has been successful in this regard. Not every artist has been happy on this stage. I'm talking about our guest performers. For me, though, as soon as I walked on, I realized it was the place for me. My theater, my stage, my audience. And I've been dancing at the Bolshoi for 20 years now. It has seen some of my happiest performances.
When you started your career, you were very young, and you have said yourself that when rehearsing Giselle's Descent into Madness, that you had to rely on the cues of your instructor because you yourself had not experienced those emotions and didn't know exactly how to move through that, I guess. Now, to what extent does emotion play into your dance, and how do you express that emotion in your dance?
I remember my teacher telling me where I was supposed to be hurting, how I was supposed to show my heartache with a gesture, where I was supposed to look so that the emotion in the madness scene would reach the audience. It wasn't just a life experience that helped me build the character of Giselle, but performance experience too. I don't know how many times I've danced Giselle by now, in Russia and elsewhere, but each performance is unique. They're all different. It depends on who you're dancing with, in whose eyes you're looking, how your partner takes you by the hand. Incredible emotions can empty out on that stage in the moment. They may not even be there during rehearsals. There's a stage magic that can turn Svetlana Zakharova and her partner into Giselle and Albrecht to make it real. Only an artist can tell you what amazing changes he or she can experience at a moment like that, when you're fully immersed in your role. Every role can be danced in slightly different ways. Every story can be told with variations, with different feelings and in a different light. I've never had two performances in my career that were exactly the same. There's something different every time, and it makes things very interesting.
Well, kind of following along with that, nothing happens in a vacuum. Emotions actually affect an artist on stage, the plasticity of an artist on stage. outside emotions, is this something that you cannot control when you're on stage?
I need to be able to control my technique on stage. Talking about emotions, it's true that sometimes they can alter your plasticity and movements. And they can be hard to control. Let's say I feel like turning my head not like this, but like this today. It makes a difference. And it's a reflection of how I'm feeling at that moment. Or maybe I feel like offering my hand not like this, but like this. It creates a different mood. Ballet dancers tell stories with their bodies. Practically speaking, in the Bolshoi, you can't see our faces well if you're sitting behind row 5 or 6, which means that we can only express our emotions with our souls, which is how Russians dance, and our body movements.
You bring up a good point in some ways that ballet gives form to the intangible, something that we cannot grasp. It gives meaning in a lot of ways. In this sense, is ballet understandable by everybody? Is it for everybody? Or do you have to have that special, unique quality to understand ballet as a form of art?
There's this stereotype that ballet is an art form for the chosen few. I strongly disagree. Just as long as viewers do a little bit of homework to understand what the ballet is about, what the artists are dancing about, and what's happening on stage, then they'll get everything. Viewers will even think, gosh, it's so simple after all. It actually makes perfect sense. Why was I afraid of going to a ballet before? Whatever made me think I wouldn't be able to understand it? That's because body language is simple and easily accessible. And modern technology these days give us a greater range of tools. While modern dancers are like athletes and have greater capabilities. Everything has evolved. They jump higher, do more turns, perform crazy lifts. It's all very impressive. We cherish our traditions for sure, but we also try to build on them and try something new. We like to showcase new possibilities. Dancers today even look different compared to 40 or 50 years ago. It's all very impressive.
By the way, I have to point out the echo in this room is pretty intense. It's fun to play with. One of the interesting facts about the Bolshoi, I guess. Classical ballet is often confined, if you will, maybe that's not the right word, by the idea of the choreographer. Have you yourself ever thought about going into modern ballet or trying something different so that you can have more freedom as an artist?
That's a great question. There are many nuances to consider here. Classical ballets have been around for centuries. At one point, I realized there was no need to invent anything else. This ballet is genius as it is. All you need to do is perform it as brilliantly as it was choreographed. It helped me at the time. When I was an aspiring young ballerina, I used to think I should go like this or like this. And here I thought I should give this look or place my foot in a different position. I keep thinking of how to do everything my way while staying within the boundaries of the initial choreography. Every artist is unique. We all have a certain physique, certain physical limits and technique. So I stopped obsessing about all those irrelevant things and just danced with the right mood and with soul. It's always a great pleasure when the emotion you've been trying to channel throughout the show comes back to you from the audience. That's the most important thing for me as an artist.
The most iconic part of the Bolshoi Theater is its historic stage. Katerina Novikova has been with the Bolshoi for over 2 decades, and she's the right person to help us get a better understanding of what this theater is all about.
So it seems here we are in the big stage, the traditional hall. So it is said that no other theater in the entire world can do what the Bolshoi Theater does. What does that mean?
To my belief, it's very difficult to judge in the art, but Bolshoi is definitely unique. First of all, by outstanding beauty of this hall where we're staying with you, our historic hall. And secondly, by the great size of Bolshoi, by all means. Bolshoi was always able to stage something truly big, with lots of sets and opulent set design and costumes and numbers of outstanding artists. And in the ballet field as well, not many companies can perform classical ballet on such a level as we can do, because we don't have only just some outstanding dancers who are doing leading parts. We have a whole corps de ballet which is trained in the best possible way. So that's why when you look on the old heritage such as Swan Lake or Bayadere, or some other titles where you need a huge corps de ballet united with the same beauty, then you definitely have to look after only very few companies in this world, such as Bolshoi, Mariinsky, and then maybe Paris Opera, La Scala, and Covent Garden, but not many, because truly a lot of efforts must be done through the years to achieve such kind of level.
What is the mission of the Bolshoi?
Prime mission is, of course, to promote Russian art and Russian culture. And in that sense, when we build our repertoire, and Bolshoi is a repertory theater, so we have numbers of different titles every year in ballet and in the opera. But of course, the first goal is to see what do we perform from Russian classic. Because we think if we don't perform Russian classic in the proper way, who else in the world would do this? So this is our prime mission, to preserve the highest point of Russian art. And then, of course, to show the highlights of world culture. So our second goal is to perform old masterpieces. And of course, one of the main goals of the Bolshoi, as of any theater, theater is not a museum, it's a life unit. So we have to produce something new, and we have to be daring in this sense, and we have to move art forward. And when people speak about tradition, they tend to forget that one of the main traditions of this house is to produce new things, new music and new productions, and to find new stars in the ballet and opera field.
Now, the classical stage is behind us. It is fantastic to see.
Well, I think this hall is a very, sacre, like very special hall for the Russian soul. Also because numbers of absolutely outstanding actors were coming on that stage, mainly in 20th century. People like Plisetskaya, Ulanova, Atlantov, Arhipova, Obrazova, Nizhdanova. You just start to name, it's like endless list. And they all were here. And we were thinking to ourselves, as all of their energy and all of their art was on that stage, and this roof was never taken away, we all feel we are under the protection of Apollo. He is our main leader. He leads us through all the difficult times. And as to the energy, I don't know how everyone feels here. Also in this box to which we were looking at you was in 20th century, 140 leaders of different countries were sitting in this box watching performances in the Bolshoi. So you name like De Gaulle or Kennedy or Gandhi, they all were sitting here as well. From that stage, they announced the birth of Soviet Union or the death of Lenin, because it was also done on that stage. So this hall itself is very special. The atmosphere is also very particular. First of all, it's very, very, very beautiful and full of history. And sometimes we feel that it affects people who come to work on that stage as new directors, let's say, because they come with very daring ideas, and then they come on this stage, they look in this hall, and all of a sudden, sometimes they really feel the heavy pressure of all this history and great names. This stage don't give you much chance to do mistakes in what you're doing on that stage.
Okay, so I have to ask, you've been here for many years. This is kind of a home for you. Has the audience changed over the years? I mean, why do people come to the Bolshoi? What do they get from coming here?
I would think that more than 70% of our audience has a true love towards this art. Many of people who come to the mosque, of course, it's a must to come to the Bolshoi, at least to be once in this house. But I think big number of our audience are true lovers of this form of art, and those are the people who return several times through the years. But very often people have particular passion, either to the human voices and to the opera as an art, or towards the ballet.
Mm-hmm. I'm lucky I'm one of the people who love both opera and ballet. Now, earlier we talked about the balance between old and classic and new works. What about set designs? The Bolshoi has big, enormous sets, amazing costumes. It's all art, actually. Is there ever a desire or an idea to move toward virtual sets or use technology to kind of enhance the performance, or is it all traditional?
It's truly depend on the creators. In real theater, you don't need truly stage design. You need just an outstanding human being on stage. But of course, when audience come to the Bolshoi, they don't expect this concept of poor theater. Mm. This is something they would not like to see in the Bolshoi. If audience comes here, they expect something absolutely spectacular. I don't know, maybe in future staging something new production of some feeric ballets, we would use new technology. It's possible, but this new technology never can replace outstanding human beings on stage. Mm-hmm. And in the orchestra pit, of course.
Of course. What about the costumes? They are in themselves just great ornamental pieces of art. I understand they're all made right here.
Bolshoi has a tradition to have its own workshops. Mm-hmm. So for many years, I think all through the history, we have our own workshops, and they're very advanced, and our costume department is really outstanding. I think if you will look on numbers of our different productions, you will see absolutely outstanding costumes, and also even the number of these costumes is impressive. For example, now for Adriana Lecouvreur, 200 costumes were made, and of course they can do modern costumes, and they can do old costumes, and they can do costumes for the opera, and they can do tutus mm-hmm. for the ballet, or different kind of shapes of skirts as it's needed.
Now, a little bit of trivia for those who might not know, the costume department is actually really easy to locate if you're looking at the Bolshoi Theater.
If you see Bolshoi from the front, back to the Apollo Quadrig, mm-hmm. you see the windows, which I get to our costume departments.
A lot of people associate the Bolshoi with ballet, but also opera is incredibly important, as we've been discussing. What makes an opera an opera? What makes it different from just being people singing on a stage in costume?
Unless you go to the concert, where you still, of course, can enjoy any score being performed just like this in concert, when you come to the theater, at least people like me who grew up with drama theater as well, we want to see a full-scale performance. We want to see not singers on stage, but characters on stage. We want to see drama, we want to see action. Mm-hmm. And we want to feel compassion, not only because of the beauty of the music, but because of the action which takes place on stage. That's why, to my mind, proper opera production is really musical theater. It means mm-hmm. that theater, where people perform, but as a performers, they have music to sing and not words to say.
We were there to witness one of the big opera premieres of the season at the Bolshoi. Renowned opera singer, soloist of the Bolshoi Theater, Agunda Kulayeva, is going to help us understand more about this enigmatic art form.
Agunda, hello.
Hello.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Of course.
So I guess my first question is, Does one have to understand opera and classical music in order to enjoy it, or can you just listen from your heart?
I don't think it's enough to just close your eyes and enjoy the music. Certainly, you need to be able to understand opera. Opera is almost like a drug. You get addicted to it. You are either totally addicted or you give up on it completely. That's why our audiences aren't as large as other genres, more accessible to everyone around the world. So I believe understanding opera is important, because then it will find its way into your soul.
Now, kind of a weird question maybe, but do you ever sing for fun or for therapy, or is it just strictly work for you?
It's a difficult question for me to answer, probably because I was born into the opera, into its atmosphere. I was essentially raised backstage. To me, it's impossible to live outside opera, outside music.
Your voice must be very important to you. What happens if you're going through a difficult time in life, or if you're just even sick? How does that affect your voice?
Being an opera singer is more than just being a professional. You have to be able to sing whatever condition you're in. Once I had to perform 5 days after my brother died. We were performing Carmen, and it was one of the most challenging experiences of my life, because when a person is in a state of grief, they don't have full command of their body. But the power of art is so immense that when I go on stage, I forget everything. Going back to your previous question, it's a form of therapy, because only on stage I truly forget about my problems.
So, when you're singing, what do you want the audience to feel?
Above all, I think the viewer has to be able to understand the character I'm playing. The words that we say, or rather sing, do not tell the full story. A singer always tries to present the character in an opera through the sound, through intonation, through acting. As singers, we always try to reach out to our audiences and make them feel a whole range of emotions, and that includes sadness and melancholy. And it gives me great pleasure to see people crying in the audience, because it means we did a good job on stage, presenting a tragic story, or a sad one, or an emotionally intense one. It means we've been able to make people reach an emotional climax, if you will. And I believe it means you're a real professional if you can make people cry.
Now, you are a human, which means you're small compared to the big stage. Everything here has to be bigger than life. Is it difficult to express emotions when you're just a tiny person on a big stage and the audience is so far away?
Oh, yes, definitely. And you need to develop certain skills to be able to do it. It's not enough just to be able to go deep into different emotions, because, as you mentioned, the stage is huge. The first row is about 35 or 40 meters away. I can't say exactly, but it's really far away. And as for the back seats, we can't even see them from where we're standing. So it certainly involves exaggerated movements and facial expressions. You have to be very expressive so everyone in the audience can see your emotions. We also use heavy makeup. And when we sing, we're mindful of voice projection, because our voices have to reach far and wide. A theatrical performance is always about exaggerating pretty much everything on stage.
Back in the time of Verdi, audiences used to sing along and they would cheer on the stars on stage. Now that would be considered really taboo if you're here at the Bolshoi. Do you kind of ever wish for that to happen in opera?
It does happen, particularly with famous arias like Habanera or Delilah. It's more common in concerts than in operas. I don't think it's really in the style of opera for the audience to sing along, although I think it could be nice to have this choir the audience choir join in on pieces like La Donna Mobile or even the Habanera. But I don't think it works within an actual opera performance.
New music. There's a lot of computers involved, guitars, different things. A lot of people say that the quality of music is going down. Do you think that this will affect opera? And if so, how so?
I'm one of those people who believe that very little genuinely talented music is being created today, music that will endure for centuries. But it also may be that we do not appreciate contemporary music deeply enough. Maybe 100 years from now, there will be operas by some of today's lesser-known composers, alongside Mozart, Verdi, and Tchaikovsky. So I think only time can tell.